Hello and welcome to the Studio 47 podcast. I am Andy Garlick.
And I'm Aaron Mitchum.
And it is going to be back.
Oh, it's great to be back.
And it is our February podcast. It's a good one. I think we're doing something today that we've talked about for a long time.
Yeah.
And finally achieving, and that is actually bringing students onto the podcast. We've talked about it. I don't know if we've ever actually talked about it on air, but you and I and Nick and others have always right. wanted that. And so yeah. it just hasn't worked out for whatever reasons. Camp got crazy. We thought we'd do it this summer. And anyway, it's happening today. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have a couple students on from Lee Summit. I always get confused whether it's Lee Summit or Lee's Summit, but I think it's actually with an S.
Lee's, it's possessive.
Mm. Anyway, Sally Reimer and Megan Roach are going to come on today and talk a little bit about what's been going on in their worlds. They've both been involved in different ways in social justice in their community, so that's a very cool thing.
Yeah, they've got some cool insights and stories to share, so...
Yeah.
That'll be good. They'll be joining us coming here in a little bit, actually.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Well, I saw a movie this weekend that I just had to mention on this podcast because it's one that I think you got to take kids to. It's got a PG-13 tag on it, just to preface, so you may need to screen it, but there wasn't anything in my mind that I actually was very surprised when I went back and saw that. But it's called King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters.
Ooh.
And it's a documentary basically about... the Donkey Kong world record, the old arcade game that you'd find in a arcade or whatever.
Right, right.
I'm not in the Nintendo version or anything like that, but the one that you actually would go with the little joystick and go nuts on. There's a dude named Billy Mitchell who like has held the record since '82, and he's like this hardcore gamer. And the guy that his character, just who he is alone, is worth the price of admission. I mean, it's unbelievable. Some of the things that comes out of his mouth, you're just like, who is this guy? Anyway, it follows a guy named Steve Wiebe that is just run-of-the-mill dad, whatever, got one of the Donkey Kong games in his garage, started playing it, and anyway, makes a run at his record, and it kind of just follows that, and just the drama between, Steve and Billy's camp and his crew, his posse, if you will, his Donkey Kong posse. It is hysterical. It's a must-see. You will not be disappointed. Just go to YouTube and Google, go to YouTube and search for King of Kong. They've got like 5 clips, like from the movie or from bonus features. You'll know exactly what you're getting into. It's good.
Do you remember the movie The Wizard? Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
The kid from The Wonder Years, Fred Savage.
Yeah. It's kind of trippy. I remember. A little bit.
There weren't like pink elephants in it or anything.
It was strange.
It was about gamers in the '80s, though. What's his name? Christian was in it. Bale. No, not Christian Bale. Anyways, that's just what made me think of.
I know you're
picturing that world.
I know what you're thinking of. Yeah. And he goes and competes at this huge gaming thing.
Yeah.
That's not the one I was thinking of. I was thinking of, there's some movie out there, I think, where the kid
Wizard
all of
Oz?
Becomes a part
that's
of the video
trippy.
Game. And it's, yeah, there you go. So, anyway.
Well, I actually, I saw a good movie this weekend as well. It was pretty good. It's called The Martian Child. It's got my man Johnny C, John Cusack's in it.
And Johnny Cash.
Johnny
C. All my Johnnies.
That's right. I rented it just because I saw John Cusack was in it, and I've liked most of what he's done. And he plays a guy who is an author, and he adopts a kid who believes he's a Martian from Mars.
And, sounds intriguing.
He wears a gravity belt made of batteries and... wears sunscreen all the time because he's afraid of the sun. And
it's
in the same vein as The Kid. Did you ever see that?
Yep.
Bruce Willis?
Yeah, the Bruce Willis one.
It's not as funny, but it's but still really good. It's another one I would recommend watching with your kids. It was a good one.
Very nice, very nice. All right. Well, now that we've wasted everybody's time with 2 movies nobody's ever heard of, we can move on to our main topic. So without further ado, here is our conversation with Sally and Megan. Back in the boat was painted wrecking ball. There was country music playing, but he don't like it at all.
All right, well, here we are live in Studio 47. We've got Sally Reimer and Megan Roach with Andy and I in the studio here. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Glad to be here.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Now, you guys are both sophomores, is that right?
Yeah.
And where do you go to school?
Lee Summit West.
Very nice.
Lee Summit West. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that? What are
the Titans,
the
right?
The Titans.
Yes.
Is that where you went to high school, Andy?
No. That high school was not there when I was in high school. I went to North.
Lee Summit North.
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, hey, Sally, we're going to start out with you here, and I've known you from the Teen Staff Program, which is where high school students come down and volunteer at our camps, and they come down for a week at a time. I first met you and your sister there, actually. Since then, I've just been hearing all sorts of things going on from Jamie Roach, who's a staff member here at Youth Front, who lives in Lee Summit. He's actually in the studio right now. He's
pumping his hand.
He's doing the Arsenio pump. All, the woo-woo. Anyways, he's just been telling us all about the different social justice movements that you've been getting a part of, I guess.
I'm on the news, too.
Yeah, you're on the news.
Yeah,
I mean,
big time.
Basically, we're honored to be in the same room as you. So,
don't be.
Anyways, I wonder if you could just start off by telling us, you know, what's your story? What's been going on in your life? How'd you get into this? You know, where to start?
About a year ago, it actually is really close to a year ago, because it was last February, that I saw the movie Amazing Grace, which was a story about a guy named William Wilberforce, and he was an abolitionist in the 18th century in England, and he fought to end slavery in the British Empire via Parliament, which was like Congress back then in England. And after seeing the movie, I was really inspired by his story because he was a man of really deep faith, and that's what motivated him to fight for justice. And the movie got into a lot of how his faith and his love for God translated into his love for people and fighting for abolition. And so I visited their website, which was amazingchange.com, and the website focused on the need for modern-day abolitionists and talked about statistics and facts and stories about how there are 27 million slaves in the world today. And after learning that, it was incredibly disturbing to learn that, and I knew that I needed to know more. And there was just a pull in my heart that God put to do that, and so I started to do more research.
Let me stop you there. Let me just ask you: did you feel overwhelmed by like where to start?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I'm a debater, so like research is kind of more of what I'm used to doing, and so I think that helped a lot. But it was definitely overwhelming, and there were lots of nights where it would be like 1 a.m, and I would still be on my computer looking stuff up, and it was really hard to put it down. Because I felt like I had to start doing something, but I had no idea what to do. And so it was just kind of this desperate search as to how to fulfill that longing to be active in it and figuring out what that would look like.
Right. So what did you do?
The more and more I looked, the more and more I realized that there were very few resources for high school kids to involve themselves in abolition. And so I decided my role in that would be to create some of those resources and some opportunities. And so I started up, it kind of started out as me creating a CD which had a bunch of information on it about modern-day slavery and about ideas and ways that kids could involve themselves in abolition and things that they could use their influence to be able to fight it. And so it started out just as a simple CD that I was kind of giving to people who were interested. And then the more and more it evolved and the more people who rallied around it, we decided it needed to become more of a group. And so we named it Clapham Sect Phase 2, which sounds like a weird name, so I'll explain it. It's after the group that William Wilberforce worked with. They were the Clapham Sect because they all lived in Clapham, England. Uh-huh. And the Phase 2 is just that we're continuing on that work and continuing on that belief that as a community, we can do so much more together than we can do in isolation. And so ended up starting that group and getting to the kids in a lot of it honestly started at Youth Front. When I was doing teen staff, Nick Bick, who was a teen staff director at that when I was teen staffing there last summer, he let me talk to the teen staff each week about what I was doing and about slavery and kind of make resources available to them. And so that's kind of where it started to get kids on board, and that was a really great place because they're just so supportive.
Yeah.
And the opposition that I faced later on wasn't really in that context. And so that was really neat. And then people in Lee Summit, where I live, started to get involved, and now we have over 100 members, and there's about 40 of them who are not in Lee Summit or not even in Kansas or Missouri, just in other parts of the state who have heard about us via either news or website or something like that. And so we've just begun to work together and engage in community together, talk to each other about things that we're doing, ways that we can fight for abolition as our generation. And it's been really inspiring the more I see people starting to move and yeah. kids who are really getting passionate about this. And so it's been, I mean, it's been a huge blessing to be a part of something that's growing so much, and just as it's kind of beginning, being able to be a part of that and watch it grow.
Tell me a little bit about some of those problems that you saw. Just educate us a little bit, if yeah. you will, on what are the problems right now with modern-day yeah. slavery and such.
Statistic-wise, there are 27 million people in the world who are enslaved today, and that's more than over the 400 years of the transatlantic slave trade combined. Mm-hmm. And so that, I mean, that's just an unbelievable amount that there are that many people suffering under slavery. And in the U.S., there's an estimated 17,500 people trafficked into the U.S. annually, and that's newly trafficked here. So there are potentially millions of people who are enslaved in the U.S., and wow. a lot of times with that kind of forms of slavery inside the U.S., about 50% of the people who are enslaved are in the sex industry, and that looks like girls who are forced to prostitute themselves out, and the mm-hmm. average age of a girl entering into that is 12 years old. And, I mean, that's horrific to think wow. that kids that young are forced to do stuff like that. But they found girls, especially in, like, Southeast Asian countries, as young as 3 in brothels. And, I mean, that's unbelievable. And that just, I mean, they just grow up being destroyed.
Yeah.
And to recover from that sort of thing is almost impossible. And it just, I mean, there's so much grace that needs to go into the recovery and everything like that. You also see slavery in, like, garment factories. Things like that, mm-hmm. in cocoa fields mm-hmm. and coffee fields, that's really prevalent. Also in child soldiers in a lot of African countries where there are civil wars and things like that, mm-hmm. You see child soldiers being used. And that's another one of those things that really breaks your heart, because there are children who are forced to kill other people. And the psychological trauma that goes along with that yeah. is just unbelievable. So it doesn't always look like it did back in the 1800s, where it's, you know, a plantation where slaves work or anything like that. It can look like so many different things, and a lot of times it's more hidden, like in the sex industry. That's a place where a lot of people don't see it, but it exists, and it exists in huge quantities. And every minute, there are 2 girls who are trafficked newly into sex trafficking, and that's ridiculous to think that every 30 seconds a girl is put into that sort of life.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, the statistics are so huge, and the stories are heartbreaking, hearing of people who have lived through that sort of life. So
what can you do? I mean, what's the clapisectum 2 doing?
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
I don't think so.
No.
I completely butchered it.
Yep.
<But it's laughs> After I said it, I go, that's not
we,
even close.
Mostly, we refer to it as CSP2, just the acronym.
I like that.
Because that is so much easier.
Talking my language.
Yes.
CSP2. What is CSP2 doing?
as students, a lot of the stuff we do, we focus around 4 goals that CSP2 has. And the first of those is equipping students with resources to help them actually do things. And that's yeah. through, like, the CDs. And we have a youth worker kit so that youth workers can get resources on how to engage their kids in abolition. We have a fair trade curriculum, which I can talk more about later. We've got a ton of resources that people can order, and they're all, the highest price is $5. And so they're all really cheap things that people can order.
You're making so much money on this.
I know. And a lot of them, you can even if we're selling it, you can probably download it off our website too.
Yeah.
For free. So there are a lot of accessible resources that people can get to. And the second goal is to create a community of student abolitionists. And we do that locally through getting together for meetings and times to just engage in fun activities together and stuff like that. And Megan comes to meetings at Lee Summit West. And you want to talk about that for a minute?
Are you referring to in the mornings?
Yeah.
Every other Thursday, we have a meeting before school that Sally leads. And it depends. Like, it varies the number of people that come, but it's basically just focused on, like, right now she's doing, or there's a concert that's going to be going on in April in a Loose Change Drive. And so right now we do a lot of work with that. And basically we just, like, hear about different stories and different things that we can be doing to help. And there's a lot of work that has to be done, obviously, that Sally does, like, a huge amount of, and it's very time-consuming for her. So we tried to help her with that, and basically, yeah, that's about it.
That's cool.
Megan, let me ask you, when did you first hear about everything that Sally's been involved with?
Probably, like, the beginning of the school year, I started talking to her about it a lot.
And what was your reaction? Like, what did you feel inside when you started hearing about all these things?
It's like, I think it's overwhelming for anyone to hear about it at first, because it is like, what can, like, how can you make a difference or whatever with just one person? But I think also it's inspiring, like, me being a high school student and Sally's a high school student, and like seeing everything that she can do. It's like more inspiring than if it was someone older doing it, because you can see how big of a difference it really can make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
So to kind of get back to the goals, the other two are education about what modern-day slavery is, and that's through whether it be at meetings or speaking to youth groups or churches or whatever, just telling people about it, because it's an issue that's really hidden. And for being the second largest criminal industry in the world, so few people know about it. And so that's a huge need. And then the fourth goal is fundraising, and that's to give to organizations that work on the front lines to fight modern-day slavery, through like going into places where slaves are held and getting them out of there, providing them aftercare, prosecuting the traffickers, things like that. And so that's the practicality of what we do together as a community to help engage as students in abolition.
So are you creating, who's helping you guys with some of these things? Are you guys involved with any youth groups? I mean, is there any adults who've been helping? Is this completely student-initiated? I mean, I'm just really impressed. You've got curriculum, you've got websites, you've got, you know, meetings. You know, what's been some of the networking of this?
Yeah, there's been a lot of help that's gone into it. It is student-based, and it's students who honestly do the vast majority of the work. But we have adults who have helped us out. Ethan Bryan, who's a youth pastor in Lee Summit, has really come on board and done a ton of work with me personally and with the group to help get us resources and that sort of thing, and just encourage us along the way as much as anything else. And Jamie has done a ton to help kind of provide resources and networks and that sort of thing. And then abolitionist organizations, I'm connected to a lot of them via whether it be me sending them emails about what we're doing and them jumping on board with that, or them hearing about it somewhere along the way. We get a lot of resources from groups like International Justice Mission and Love 146 and Free the Slaves and Stop the Traffic. And there are just a lot of groups who we have a contact there, and they can provide us resources and give us information. So there's been, it is certainly not something that is just kids, or that's, you know, while it's led by kids, there's been a lot of help that's gone into it. So
it's also cool that it's not just isolated to Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, this is certainly a national, international thing that's,
Definitely.
That's happening.
Tell me a little bit more. This is a podcast for youth workers, as you know. How can youth workers get a hold of the kit that you talked about? Or tell us a little bit more about that.
The kit, it has several things. And it has some informational sheets about what CSP2 is, what our goals are, resources that we have to help youth workers. It has scriptures about justice and things like that. And then the majority of the information is held in two CDs. And one of them is the student CD that I talked about earlier. And that helps to give them an idea of resources that are available for kids, and gives them a CD that they can show to kids saying, this is, you know, a ton of information on here that you can get. And those normally sell for $1. And so you can just buy 20 of them, whatever, and have them for your kids if you want.
Yeah.
And then it also has a CD that is specifically for youth workers. And that one has a lot of information about it. It's broken up into our four goals. And the majority of the information is condensed into, like, the awareness raising and things like that. And it has several Bible studies that apply to modern-day slavery that are put out by, like, one of them was from Amazing Grace. They have a Bible study that goes along with their stuff. Stop the Traffic has a Bible study. There's just a lot of resources like that that relate to our faith with justice.
Yeah.
And then there's a ton of other information. I mean, there's, I think it has, like, 80 documents on there. So there's a ton of information as far as ways that they can engage in that. And you can get those from our website is csp2justiceseekers.com. And you can, if you go to the resources tab there, then you can order those and also get a hold of me and via email and that sort of thing.
Say the website one more time.
csp2justiceseekers.com.
Okay. And we'll put that on our website when this goes up. Yep. That's awesome. I mean, that's just like, as a youth worker, you're always looking for for resources and stuff. And so to have 80 plus like that is very cool.
Yeah.
Are there any stories you can share, just maybe highlight from what you've done locally with maybe a youth group or what youth
Yeah, I've there? Worked with several youth groups at CORE.
Which is?
Church of the Resurrection.
Church of the Resurrection.
I went there and spoke to theirs, and they actually, they have been incredibly useful and a blessing to us, in that they made a video about CSB2.
Oh, cool.
And that'll be up on the website pretty soon here. And that's, I mean, that's an incredible resource to have.
Yeah.
And we got to talk to their kids about it. I've spoken probably like 8 or 9 youth groups thus far, and it kind of fluctuates as far as some months I'll have a lot, some months I won't have any, that sort of thing. But I've also spoken to churches, Lakeland Community Church. I spoke to their whole congregation about it, and they've been incredibly on board with stuff and want to really engage in ways that as a church community they mm-hmm. can get involved with abolition, which is exciting because that's the adults too, rather than just the kids. And while it started with the youth group, it's something that's spread kind of throughout that church, and that's really exciting. And I've also seen kids just individually get involved in this sort of thing. Like Megan's sister Haley is selling T-shirts to raise money for International Justice Mission. And it cost them about $500 to free a slave, and they just raised their first $500, which is really exciting.
That's cool. Really exciting.
And she, the first time she heard me talk about it was actually at the altar retreat that Youth Front does. And so after she heard that, she just kind of started thinking about ways that she could engage in it. And that's, T-shirts is nothing that I came up with, or not even an idea that I gave her at all. It's just she was thinking about, you know, what are ways that I can use the influence that I have and the connections that I have to do this. And that's what she decided to do. And it's become something that's really taken off and had a huge amount of success. And if they can raise $500 to free a slave, if all of us could do that, then we could have such a big impact. So that's really exciting.
That was really exciting. What did the T-shirts say?
They say, "Live simply so others can simply live."
Very
from
nice.
Shane Claiborne.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Megan, you mentioned that there's a concert, a Loose Change Drive concert that's coming up. Do you guys have the information on that? When's that going on? What's the times?
It's going to be, the Loose Change Drive is at the 3 Lee Summit schools as well as Ray Peck. The first 2 weeks of April, and then we're kind of accumulating that with a concert at Lakeland Community Church on April 19th. And it's going to run from 2 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m., and there's going to be a whole bunch of bands there, as well as also having, like, we're going to have a prayer room and a human trafficking forum that goes on for part of that, and games on the indoor soccer field and a video game tournament, so all kinds of stuff.
And what's the cost of that?
It's going to be, we're actually kind of connecting it to a canned food drive, so it will be $8 if you don't bring canned food, $5 if you do.
Uh-huh. It's very worth cool. a can of food.
And is it, your band's actually playing in that,
aren't
you?
We are playing at that.
Very nice.
Yeah, so sweet. We'll see you there.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about how, if a student's listening or a youth worker that is like, man, I've got some students in my youth group that would just jump onto this, how could somebody start a Clap'em Sect? Phase 2.
Ah, you got it.
Yes. I had it written down.
We have a community startup kit that is available on our website. You can download it off of there, or you can order it for like $1 for the cost of the CD. And youth workers can get on there and download it for their kids, or the kids can order it off of the website. And it has a bunch of information about kind of what CSB2 is, what the goals of it are, as well as ideas for, you know, activities that you can involve yourselves in and how to get stuff started, whether it be at your school or your church or wherever.
Now, can people contact you directly?
Yeah, definitely. You can, my email address is up on the website, and I love to meet with people in person and talk to them about stuff that we have going on that they could kind of emulate in their own community, as well as new ideas that they have. Email is a great way to get a hold of me, just because I do like 2 hours of that a day probably.
Yeah.
Answering emails and stuff. So that's a good way.
Cool. What's the actual email address?
It's sallyr@csp2justiceseekers.com. And then I also have one that's easier to remember. It's sallyr@justicejam.com.
Love it.
Well, Sally and Megan, thank you so much for coming in today.
Definitely.
We really appreciate it and enjoyed having you.
I think Megan nailed it on the head when you used the word inspiring. I think a lot of people are going to be inspired by this. And it's just cool to see what you've done. You know, it's going forward. I'm sure there's a lot more in the future, too.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. You guys are being the gospel, and that's awesome.
God's used it in really crazy ways, and I'm blown away most of the time by what he's doing with it. And it's really, so little of it is actually me, and so much of it is people who have jumped on board with it.
Yeah.
And just his blessing on it has been so apparent the entire time with whenever we need something, the resources pop up somewhere in ways that I could never imagine or expect. And it's just, it's crazy to see that sort of stuff happen.
Yeah. Mm. Good stuff. Well, we'll put her website on ours.
Studio47.org.
That's right. And people can contact you through that.
Yep, and my email address is up there and everything.
Cool.
And So, yeah.
Very good. So youth workers out there listening, she's a good resource to tap into and even have come and speak at youth group and stuff. So it's good.
Definitely. Well, thanks, you guys.
You're welcome. The Great Salt Lake.
Well, there it was, our time with Sally and Megan, and wow.
Yeah, that was great. Stuff. I was really impressed. I mean, I'm just, you know, you guys can't see them, but they look just completely like two normal high school students.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you wouldn't, you just pass them by and think, oh, those high school students.
Yeah.
You would have no idea that they are just doing amazing things.
Seriously. I mean, ridiculously amazing things.
And you were saying this, or maybe Jamie was saying this, when we weren't recording, but it's not like, you know, there's an adult behind this and they're orchestrating everything,
right,
you know,
right.
But the students are the face of it or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, she's humble about it too, but I mean, Jamie was telling us, you know, off the air or whatever, just how much she puts into this. It's one of those things that you just know this is her calling. You know what I mean?
Oh.
I mean, there's no question about it.
No question. You sit there and you watch her and you just think, you're gonna be able to do this the rest of your life. I know I'm going to see you doing great things in this movement, because it's not a flash in the pan for her, for sure.
Right, right. Man, it's just, I don't know. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And I encourage every youth worker out there to seriously just shoot her an email or go to the website, check it out. She just really has a heart to help others engage in this.
Yeah, and it's a great example of whether your student's passion would be in abolitionism, if that's how you say it, you know, or maybe their passion is going to be in another area. But it's just a great example of that. Yeah, students can get involved in things.
Right.
If they can get involved in this, something incredibly overwhelming.
Yeah.
There's really no end to what they could be a part of and make a difference in.
It's true. I mean, she said it with Megan's sister Haley, what she's doing with those t-shirts, and Megan off the air had told us some stories of stuff that she's done in our city and in Mexico. And
the other thing, Andy, is I think it shows that adults, they do play a role in this, right? Because the student comes to the adult and says, I have these sort of ideas, but can you help me form them a little bit more? And I think it's such a cool opportunity as adults to be able to come alongside
Absolutely.
The students in that area. And what a cool opportunity for youth workers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's our responsibility. That is our calling. And so to pass up on something like this is...
Yeah.
Yeah. So good stuff. I maybe said it offhand after we did the interview. This might be my favorite podcast we've ever done. It's just one of those that it's good stuff. So we'll put the stuff on our website. Check it out. CSP2.
I'm not even going to attempt.
You never did.
I didn't.
You never did. I was the fool. I went down that road.
I let you take the fall.
So there it is. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Catch you on the flip side, baby.
Studio 47.
Clapius sectorium phasion dos.
How many 5-year-olds could you take in a fight.com?